The Holy Passion of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew near, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to put him to death, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered into Judas Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he consented and sought an opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of a crowd. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it." And they said to him, "Where will you have us prepare it?" He said, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there." And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you that I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to question one another which of them it could be who is going to do this. O Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is something awesome in that last Passover celebrated by the Lord Jesus. That night he was under no illusions. He knew exactly what awaited him. He even knew by whom it would come. Reclining at the table in Oriental fashion, he says plainly that one of the 12 will betray him. And they ask one after the other, "Me? Is it I?" Their hearts were breaking. You see, they'd been with him long enough to know that whatever Jesus says is truth. He didn't lie. He didn't exaggerate. He didn't deceive. He just spoke what was true and let the chips fall where they may. The truth he spoke at table that night was so painful that their hearts were breaking as he looked about at them with such love. The Son of Man goes as it has been determined. That is, determined by God in the Scriptures. To what was he referring? You know. my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? From the words of my groaning, they pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. His visage was marred more than any man, his form more than the sons of men. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was bruised for our iniquities. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He put him to grief. He bore the sins of many. They will look on me whom they have pierced. They will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and grieve as one grieves for a firstborn. Pain, suffering, crushing defeat, rejection, hatred, torture, death. These stare Jesus in the face that night, and he looks at them all unflinchingly, and he knows that they will come to him through Judas's betrayal, and he speaks of Judas's future in very dire terms. Woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. And with all that facing him, Jesus looks over the Passover meal spread in front of him, and what fills his heart? Not despair. Not anger. With his sufferings about to begin, Jesus' heart is filled with joy and yearning. Only in Luke's gospel do you hear the words we just heard. Jesus saying to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Throughout their years together, they'd seen it happen 100 times. Jesus, with food in front of him, lifting his eyes to the Father in heaven, giving him thanks and praise, then sharing the meal with them together. He taught them at mealtime. He laughed with them at mealtime. He loved them at mealtime. And mealtime with Jesus, that was nothing less to them than heaven on earth. And now he's getting ready to leave them, to take away his visible presence from them. This was the last meal that they would ever share with him in the old way. In a sense, it was all over. And in a way more wonderful than any of them could ever imagine, it was going to go on and be better than it ever was before. With joy in his heart, he took the bread in his hands, bread, and his hands soon to be pierced by nails. And he lifted his eyes one more time to the Father, and he gave him thanks. And then he broke it and gave it away with the most awesome words. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Their minds blowing. They know he only speaks truth, absolute truth. But that doesn't make any sense. Fear and trembling, they received it, and they wondered. But then, in case a mind wasn't fully blown yet, he does the absolutely unthinkable thing for any Jew. He takes the cup in his hands, he lifts it up, he gives thanks over it. And you just think what it means that he could give thanks over that cup and the contents of that cup on that night. And then he gave it to them and said, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Blood! No good Jew would ever drink blood, would ever conceive of the idea. God's law through Moses repeatedly stressed that God's holy people would never drink blood, and they wouldn't even eat meat that had blood in it. God had said, The life is in the blood. And Jesus reaches them the blood, the covenant blood, the blood of his new covenant, and he bids them drink it up and swallow down life. His life. Did he maybe smile at the perplexity on their faces as one after the other they drank? He'd just given them, and through them given to his church till the last day, the manner and the means by which he would still have table fellowship with his own. In the body and in the blood, his body given for many, his blood of the new and everlasting covenant, he would still be with his disciples, giving them forgiveness, loving them, strengthening their faith, remembering them, and they would then remember him. Matthew and Mark record that he added, "Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God," similar to St. Luke's. "For I tell you, I will not drink it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Yeah. He looked the cross straight in the eye. But he knew that wasn't the end. On the other side of the cross, on the other side of the darkness and of the death, there was the day of joy when he would lift up the cup of wine at the feast that has no end. Not just gather now with his 12. But with the 12 tribes of his new Israel, all his sisters and brothers. The writer of Hebrews understood what was going on in the heart and mind of Jesus that night when he wrote, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is set down at the right hand of God." So how else could he end the meal that night? Well, a meal that would reach to the end of time, bringing Jesus' body and blood to his people, it had to end with a song. And not some lament, not some dirge. Probably one of the Hallel Psalms, sung at the Passover. A hymn for going home. The song of the pilgrim on his way to the holy city. Now, there was more stuff that happened in the upper room, and Luke has more to say of that, but you've got to wait for next Thursday to hear about that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.